condition, my condition was ill.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut through the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper bag.
Long walk by Satchel Jackson. Tomorrow, right on the board. SP futures down 13 and a quarter. NASDAQ futures down 99. We were up yesterday, a little bit of a turn. As the day wore on, but today, not the same. See where we ended up yesterday exactly, since I'm talking about it. Actually, we were down a little bit. We were up most of the day, and then we're down. SP were down 6, and NASDAQ down 67. And we kind of ducked on the close. VIX was up a little bit. Do we have the Professor, Carl?
Oh, you do.
How are you, buddy?
Well, you know, I'm doing fine. Spent the last week out in Colorado skiing. Had a great time.
And you came back healthy?
I came back with my legs intact. Well, a little sore.
Well, that'll happen.
In the quads, yeah. You know, I mean, they don't get worked as much when you're running. But boy, do they get worked when you're skiing.
I found it was when I used to go skiing all the time. We'd go for a week and we were, you know, going to dusk. Of course, back in those days, it was a lot different because before you had the high-speed chairs, now I'm not even sure I could do dawn to dusk in those days. But
I'll tell you what. That's one of the reasons I go out there is those detachable chairs are a game changer. And you know what's amusing about that, Chief, is that the basic limits on the physics of a non-detachable regular, you know, the seats are on a rope and the rope runs at a fixed speed. Right.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously they can stop it if, you know, somebody wipes out getting on or off. But the speed of those is about 300 feet per minute, because that is about the maximum that a human can reasonably expect to be able to load and unload and, you know, not get whacked in the back of the legs and fall over and, you know, then run over by the chair, right? Things like this. All right. So the solution to this is that the chair uncouples from the line at both terminals.
Sort of like a gondola.
Well, kind of, except a gondola, you know, actually completely stops. The chair doesn't stop, okay? But the chair loads at the 300-foot rope speed. And then as soon as it clears the, you know, that mechanism, it's on the rope, which is running at 1,000 feet per minute.
Yeah, right, there's definitely a jump from one to the other. It's a two-step mechanism.
It is an utterly the difference in experience. I mean, you know, you can go out there and you could do 20 runs in a day out there with a couple of breaks for, you know, lunch and some coffees and stuff like this. You try that in the Midwest, it ain't happening. Okay, simply because you're sitting on your butt for three times as much time. Physical time.
When we first went out to, it was 19, God, I think I went, when I graduated grad school, the night I graduated, we left and drove all night to Steamboat. So
was, yeah, there you go.
So it was like 1970-something. And the places were crowded. It was a real singles mecca in those days. Now it's not so much. But it was, you know, carloads of guys and girls in their, you know, 20s, and it was, you know, it was fun. But it was, the place was crowded, and they didn't have as many chairs. But if you wanted to get in 12,000 feet of vertical, you were pushing it, because maybe or 14, because most a long run is about two, you know, in a big place. Right. There are places that have runs further than that from top to bottom, but not a whole lot. Most of them, you don't go all the way top to bottom. But anyway, you had a 15-minute, 20-minute wait for the chair, easy. And then you had, the chair took a while. If you had a 2,000-foot chair or 1,500-foot chair, like you say. And then I went later, kind of by myself, and I was not as young. And I think I did 10,000 feet of vertical in maybe 2 hours, Carl. It was like nobody there. And I got down to the chair, I was back up top. And I tell you, I've never been as cold in my life as I came down. It was windy and it was cold. And I come flying down this run. Well, I used to go pretty fast. I was never a bump guy, but I get down there, and, you know, hey, you're working pretty hard. Yeah, I'm pretty sweated up. And I get on this thing, and it didn't have the bubble that you pull over it. And there was about a 20-mile-an-hour wind in my face, plus this thing. I felt like I was on a motorcycle and couldn't get off. I don't think I've ever been this cold.
Yeah, I just pulled the stats out of Garmin while you were talking. And, I did one of the 2 days. This is with my daughter, who snowboards, and she's not as capable and skilled at that as I am at skiing. Okay, she hasn't been doing it nearly as long.
So she's a knuckle dragger.
No, she's actually, believe it or not, she can ski no BS, well, ride no BS blues in Colorado now, which, I mean...
That's what they call those people when they first started out. They were knuckle draggers, they call them.
Yeah, well, I call them face planters, because that's what you see a lot of, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, but even with that, with doing it with her, so I'm not getting anywhere near as the fast turn time that I am if I'm just skiing by myself. I did 19,000 vertical feet.
Well, that's a real lot. I mean,
now if I'd been, if I'd been all on my own, probably would have been close to double that.
Well, if you're one thing I remember about, I used to work out a lot before I went out there. There's really nothing you can do that absolutely simulates skiing working out. You can do You can do a little bit of hopping or jumping rope, maybe, but that's it's still not quite. Anyway, hey, what a talk. We got a half hour here, unfortunately, but a couple of things to talk about. I spent some time yesterday talking about what's this lady's name, Michelle Fox, regarding the and I
then you looked at the MTS and you said, how'd that happen?
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't. There's some to refresh people's memories in case you didn't listen to the show yesterday. Michelle Fox from CNBC, and we've talked about her before. She does good stuff. Not to mention, she got a great name. Michelle Fox, don't you like that?
That's yeah.
I wonder if that's a real name. Maybe it is. Says the U.S. national debt is rising by $1 trillion about every 100 days. And yesterday I got out the Treasury statements, and it's kind of nowhere near that, Kyle. And I wonder what is she seeing that I'm not? I mean, is there...
Look, there's two... Okay. So you used to do accounting, cost accounting and things like this for Pullman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what would happen if you were to steal half of Pullman's revenue? Steal it. I mean, like, literally steal it. And then report to something that was just complete BS in your financial statements.
So if I was like a bar and I took all the cash money and just kind of moved her to the side.
And blew it on whatever. Doesn't matter what you spent it on, but you blew it, right?
I'll be like Nick over at the Tripoli. 90% of my money I spent on women, cars, and booze, and the other 10% I wasted?
Yeah, something like that. What do you think would happen to you when they figured that out, that you were doing that?
Well, if it was my company and I was paying taxes somehow, they probably wouldn't care. But I probably wouldn't be. Or if it was somebody else's company, they'd be pissed off huge.
That would be called embezzlement,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a word for that.
Yes.
Okay, it's embezzlement. And when you do that, usually go to prison, especially if in that kind of magnitude. All right, I mean, you're not talking about, you know, ripping off $20 out of the drawer here.
Right.
Okay. So every administration since Bill Clinton's has been doing this in ever-increasing size. Bill Clinton never ran a surplus. Never. Not once. Oh, he claims he did. Still claims he did. Should have been dragged out in the middle of the Washington Mall and you know what happened.
But they, right, you know, but they were buying back bonds.
Chief, no. I'm going to tell you where she got this data from, and this is not, she didn't make this up. Okay, the U.S. Treasury publishes this data in the debt to the penny series. Anybody can go look this up. Okay, it is right there. And if you can, and by the way, the historical data is right there too, all the way back to when Bill Clinton was doing the same thing. And you will notice during the fiscal year that Bill Clinton claimed he was running a surplus, he was not. That the federal debt increased, which, if you're running a surplus, is impossible. Right?
Right.
Okay. You know, I mean, if you in your personal life, you know, if you're paying your mortgage, the amount of money you owe on your mortgage goes down.
Well, what should happen is if when your kid is in school and in college, and that year you make $150,000 and you spend $175,000 because you're paying for college, theoretically your savings, which you've saved for this, should come down $25,000. It should all match up.
Well, right. We call that a general ledger in business.
Yes.
Okay. Everything's got to tie out, right? For every debit, there's a credit, and vice versa. Okay. So if you go to the debt to the penny site and you look at from the start of the fiscal year to January 31st.
Right, what's the difference between the debt to the penny and the regular? Because I've got...
Well, this is what I'm... Yeah, okay. I'm going to explain what all they're right. doing. Okay?
Well, just as a word of a word of where we're coming from this. In 2023, the deficit was $1.7 trillion. So if you do the math, it's a $1 trillion every 8 months. Not every 100 days. So that's where I'm coming from on this.
And if you look at the data in the Treasury statement, the monthly Treasury statement, from October 1st to the end of January, which we don't have a February one yet, okay, because it's just the first few days of March. But we do have the January one. So if you take that and you look at it's right the first few pages, the deficit is $532 billion, according to the Treasury statement.
Right, and it's 4 months. That's more than 100 days.
That's more than 100 days. Okay. If I go to the debt to the penny site, which, again, is public, you pull the CSV file down, stuff it into Excel, or just look at it on the page if you don't mind going through and getting your calculator out, and you look at from the beginning of October to January 31st, the total increase in federal debt is $1.024 trillion.
So it's double, but it's still not triple.
Well, but it's yeah. but that's the real number. Okay.
So where's the other $400 billion?
It was your payroll tax receipts. They stole them. And they're off books. And they're lying. And they're doing it on purpose. It's embezzlement.
Wait a minute. They
stole it.
All right, so the real number here is $1 trillion, and somehow $470 billion went someplace. Where's the someplace?
It didn't go someplace. It's literally stolen.
All right, but it is somewhere.
Well, it got spent.
How?
Well, it got spent. It's in the spending. It's just that the money that is on the other side.
So this is being spent for Medicare and stuff there?
Oh, it's being spent for... Mike, you want to know why your taxes went up $7,000 in Chicago, your property taxes? Well, it's because we imported a couple of million illegal aliens.
You and I have a disagreement on it.
If
none of them were here, we'd have almost the same budget problem.
Well,
can't blame it all on them.
Chief, maybe so, and well, the $7,000, maybe so, maybe not. But here's what I do know, okay? And here is a fact. There is a law. It is 8 United States Code, 1324, Section 1324. You should go read it. Because 8 United States Code, Section 1324, says it is a felony for any person to in any way suborn, aid, comfort, transport, harbor an illegal alien. If you hire 10 or more of them in a 12-month period, that is a felony. Okay? These felonies carry 5 or 10 years in prison, period, for each person.
Yet if you come over illegally with a bunch of money, they give you 10 citizenships if you have enough money to have 10 people with a job.
That's not against the law. Okay?
You're illegal. You're illegal here.
I'm saying if you come here and you legally buy U.S. citizenship by making investments or whatever, that's not an illegal.
But I mean, you're here for a month or two before you do it.
Well, guess what? All the people who helped you, all the people who rented you a place to live, all the people who picked you up over at Home Depot, let's not get sidetracked here.
I'm absolutely mystified.
Chief, I'm telling you, this is the same problem.
Okay, but $470 billion disappearing to me is a much bigger problem. How do you do that? I'd love to do that.
Well, excuse me, I'd love to steal $470 billion.
All right, where is it?
Okay.
The receipts are...
It got spent on all the things that everyone claims to want, and everyone does, but instead of producing a treasury statement, a balance sheet, treasury statements... You want to get the closest analog to what you and I think of as financial statements would be a cash flow statement, right?
We're looking at something here that's pretty simple. The Treasury statement says the receipts for the year to date are $1.58 trillion. The expenditures are 2.1, outlays they call them, leaving our net of -531. You're saying the outlays are really 2.8.
I'm saying that the offsetting receipts are being stolen and spent, and therefore they're not going where they're supposed to go.
All right. Well, I guess I'm the English here. I'm a little trouble with them. You're saying they're spending more than they're telling us they are.
They're spending more and taking the cash that otherwise would.
Well, there's no. I mean, there's no cash to take. You're already under the water here. So you're saying they're under the water more.
Right. And exactly that essentially the.
But the money's got to come from somewhere. Is it stuff the Fed is printing? Where is it?
Well, no. The money is coming from the borrowing, the issuance, that is being done by Treasury. I mean the. Look, if I sell bonds, okay, somebody owns the bond.
All right, I'm just trying
this is my
cost accounting world, Tom. You're saying that when the Fed, when the Treasury goes out and borrows money, all right, that somehow or another, that is being spent directly without getting into this receipt and outlay column here.
Right. So what's happening?
Why the hell do they
here?
Do that?
You just falsify all you do is falsify the accounting statement. It's no big deal. We don't care about the general ledger. Doesn't have to tie out because we're the government. We don't go to prison for doing this.
This is like the CPI, the most detailed thing in the world, yet it's wrong.
Chief, it's intentionally wrong.
Well, that was my suspicion all along, is somehow or another. The borrowing, the deficit is 531. It's somehow or another they're borrowing.
No, the deficit is $1 trillion January 30th.
What I'm saying, in my world, it should tie out that the 531 should be money they borrowed, correct? Or printed, really. But the Treasury should still be borrowed. The printed part comes from the Fed. The way it's supposed to be set up, what you're saying is they're actually borrowing $1 trillion and not 531.
And, that's correct.
And somehow or another, the 470 is being spent before it even lands any place.
Well, the 470 is being, the total amount of spending in excess of actual receipts is $1 trillion.
But somebody somewhere is writing that check, and it's got to be in a ledger someplace.
Yeah, I'm sure there's another set of books.
Really? I mean, that's. I guess it sounds like there is, but it's quite an accusation, I guess is what I'm saying.
It's not quite an accusation. It's been public data for the last 25 years.
That the amount of borrowing does not match the deficit.
That's correct.
Okay, that leaves kind of a hole, I guess.
No, it's called fraud. It has a word. Okay, and it's been going on since Bill Clinton's administration.
But somebody must know where it's going.
Well, the spending is the spending. You're gonna, you know, this is the thing about cash flow statements. Okay, the spending is never wrong because you spent it. The guy on the other end cashed the check, right? So the amount of money that, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, whatever, you can't argue with this. All right. I mean, the guy on the other end is not going to agree with you that he didn't get the money.
Is there some way they're messing with the cash versus accrual here? There's some. Why can't I think out of the box here? But I mean, someplace, somewhere, somebody is totaling up $2.1 trillion in terms of outlays. Check to Carl. Check to Chief. Check to whoever it's going to.
Right.
Let's see. Check to Carl. We won't count this one. Check to Chief. All right, we'll write that one down. I can't even imagine that.
Chief, I know you can't imagine it, and it's been going on for so long that nobody.
Why do they decide which ones they count, and which ones they don't?
Go ask Janet Yellen that.
Well, my guess would be some of the stuff that's going, like overseas and being where our people are chasing them overseas, be it Hunter Biden or some Republican or somebody who's an independent or somebody who doesn't care about government. My guess is some of that money, the CIA or someplace, is getting stuff that's off book. Would be my guess, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, you know, that's a fair question, okay? And I don't.
I
know
doubt if it's just regular stuff. If you're buying a tank, that somehow you're not counting it. I mean, maybe you do, but I.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, all I know is that when you the actual deficit number, okay, on the borrowing side, ultimately you cannot cheat on the borrowed amount because when I go on to Treasury Direct or somebody else goes on.
I don't think
Treasury
you cheat
Direct,
here. Now you just told me you can, so now I'm not sure about anything else.
Well, no. What I'm saying is that if I hold a Treasury bond, I'm not going to let you suddenly claim that I don't, right? Because then you stole my money.
What do you mean? If it's Bitcoin and you don't get your password, guess what? You just never get it.
Well, you just never get it. You know, but here's the important point is this. All of this, if you tried to do this anywhere else, they'd show up with the black SUV and cuff and stuff you. You would go to prison for it. I would go to prison for it. If I tried to do this when I was running my company, even though it was private, I'd go to prison because I didn't pay taxes on the cash.
Right, and nobody pays tax on embezzled money. If you did, if Al Capone would have sent a check in for his stuff, he wouldn't have been in jail.
Well, exactly, but eventually when they figure it out, they're going to jail me because I didn't pay the taxes.
Right.
Okay, so the reality of it is that that's, you know, I mean, nobody pulls this in the private sector at that kind of magnitude. I mean, do people cheat all the time? Well, of course they do. But, you know, 50%? You're out of your mind. But this has been going on at an ever-increasing rate. Bill Clinton never ran a surplus by this data. You can go look it up if you want, Chief. I have written on this several times. There was not one single fiscal year during Bill Clinton's presidency when the debt to the penny did not increase. Not one. So he is a lying sack of you-know-what. He never ran a surplus. His Treasury Secretary was lying. Janet and every
Carl, when the facts don't match the legend, print the legend.
Well, every single president since has done the same thing. So I don't care if you like Republicans or Democrats or whatever. Trump, same deal. Obama, same deal. You know, Bush, same deal. All these guys, right? All of them.
All right, we only have a couple of minutes, which leads us a long way to the, I guess, I could say the million-dollar question, but that's a little light, the trillion-dollar question. We're seeing consumer debt. I never seen anything like that chart.
It's straight up.
It's straight up. It's vertical. The federal deficit now is becoming almost vertical, it seems to me, if this number is...
The federal deficit is, at this rate, it's going to be, you're going to have $3 trillion of additional federal debt by the end of the fiscal.
And I made a mistake of going to, and I guess they're my poster child for a half-assed third world place, Turkey. I can't, everything's vertical there, for God's sake. The money supply, the market, the inflation. It's got to be like that all over the place. I mean, I think it's raining all over the world, like it's a rainy night in Georgia. Are we entering a period here, well, if you were to ask me what would happen here, you would expect a year from now, I mean, there was no Bitcoin when I first started, but you would expect any alternative stuff, gold, silver, inflation is not only not leaving, it's coming back dramatically, and we could see a 10% 10-year, a year and a half from now, which I
think... Keith, I'm going to tell you right now, this is if this is not stopped, you're going to see a vertical move in interest rates, and it's simply going to be because people are going to say, look, these are the real numbers. I don't care what you claim in the MTS. It makes absolutely no difference. If you want to borrow any more money, this is what it's going to cost.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this going from... I mean, I don't want it to. I mean, I really hope I'm wrong, but...
Okay,
I know this,
this
week we've seen gold spike, we've seen Bitcoin spike, we've seen the market spike. All this stuff is telling you that the value of the dollar is down.
Well, the problem with this is it isn't going to continue because parabolic curves never do. Trees do not grow to the sky. They don't end up at the sun. Okay, that doesn't happen. This is going to come apart, and it's going to come apart this year.
One of the big dudes from Wharton was yesterday. He thinks it comes apart in 2025, and whoever gets elected has just a brutal term.
Well, it might. You know what? It is possible that we get through the election, but possible. Okay. You know, it's during Tulip Mania, people kept doing it even though it was obvious that the game was over, right?
Oh, sure.
And all you had to show for it was a pretty flower.
At least with that, you get a flower of Bitcoin. You don't even get that.
Well, I'm just saying. At least you got a pretty flower. I mean, all you got was a pretty flower.
Right? I think we're going to have to dash off here to Joel Butto. We have our usual hour section on Friday. This is you just expanded my world here. I'd love to get this Michelle Fox on for an interview.
I mean, well, that's where she got the data from. As you told me what she had been talking about, and I looked at it, and I'm like, yeah, I know where that came from. I look at this data all the time.
Well, I had a feeling that one was growing faster than the other. I mean, I went through the numbers yesterday. But I
didn't believe it was that much.
Yeah, I didn't believe it was that much. I mean, there's no question, because I do look at the world debt clock, and in the last 4 months, I'm kind of surprised that we're only 400 in a hole because the thing's going up, the debt's going up faster than that. I mean, I'm looking right at it. But right. I didn't realize that they actually were giving us two sets of books that didn't match.
they are, and they're stealing the rest of the money.
Oh, God. SP Futures down 14, NASDAQ Futures down 100. Carl will be back on Friday. We'll be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation and Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, and it's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Ryan on the board. SP Futures down 16 now, and NASDAQ Futures down 106. Market has gotten... Ryan, is it a real word to say the market has gotten a little squirrely here in the last couple of days? We'll talk about that more with Joel and Kenny. But So the NASDAQ has retreated from the record high, but Dow's down 50. Individual stocks, I don't have a whole lot of stocks doing much here. We have NVIDIA's back up, 517 straight, 857. It's kind of the bellwether of the market right now. We'll see if anything happens there. Although Apple was down pretty much yesterday because of that antitrust deal in Europe. We'll ask those guys about that as well. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down a buck. Call that flat. We got the FTSE down a buck. Call that flat. CAC around up a buck. Call that flat. So if you're trading over in Europe today, I think you're snoozing. Over in Asia, Nikkei down 11 points. Let's call that one flat. Hang Seng down 433. That's not flat. It's 2.6%. 16,162. Took a big chunk out of the 16,000 number, but still above 16,000. Shanghai up 8. Let's call that one flat. Beijing is targeting 5% GDP growth, and we're not sure if that's why Hong Kong slid 2.5%, but let's put it this way. They both happened on the same day. We're not sure one. Yesterday again, Dow down 97, S&P down 6, NASDAQ up 67, down 67. This is after being up in the morning. VIX was actually up a little bit, 29 to 1378. Bonds down 3 basis points, 4.19. The Bund down 3 basis points, 2.37. Japan unchanged, 0.71. We've got oil down 75 cents, 77.99. So back under $80 by a couple of bucks. Brent down 60 cents, 82.20. Natural gas down 2 cents, $1.89. RBOB down 2 cents, 2.56. Foreign exchange, we've got the against the dollar. This has been really steady, 108.5 in the euro for many, many days now. British pound, same thing, 126.8, been very flat. Whatever everybody's doing, we're all doing the same thing. Gold, however, up another $4, 21.30. Blue thread is 2100 number. We'll see if it stays up there. Silver of 18 cents, 24.17. I am, for my people, I've really been long gold here, and it's working out this week. We'll see if it stays up there. Crypto. Bitcoin down 423, but still at a huge height at 67,189. Ryan, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, Bulls win, Hawks. Hey, the Hawks lose. That's news.
Yeah, always news. Yeah. I mean, nothing we can't anticipate, but still
more,
news.
Mortal words of Angelica. Who cares? All they do is lose.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it, honestly. Avalanche beat the Blackhawks 5-0 at that. Not so much a close loss either. Like, that's a loss.
It was the game as close as the score was indicated? I'm thinking no.
Exactly. Speaking of Chicago teams losing, the Padres beat the Cubs 2-1 in the MLB preseason the other day. But, you know, on the plus side, the Bulls did beat the Kings 113-109 on Monday, so...
The Kings are a good team, so...
Yeah, they
are. Bulls are playing well.
They are. I mean, I'll take my wins where I can get them, Tom.
Yes.
In regards to college basketball, Indiana beat Maryland 83-78, Ohio State beat Michigan 84-61, and Nebraska beat Rutgers 67-56. All fairly close, minus the OS game. In regards to weather, right now in Chicago, it's a stark 40 degrees with some light rain, with a high of 42 later today, so a little brisk, but not terrible, at least comparatively. In Phoenix, it is 53 right now, with a high of 76 later on, with clear and sunny skies. Looking at traffic, we've got on the inbound Kennedy from O'Hare to I-290, looking at about 25 minutes travel time. Inbound Edens to I-290. Roughly 26 minutes, so about the same. Inbound I-290 to I-90-94, looking at about 36 minutes there. And on the inbound Stevenson from I-355 to the Dan Ryan, it's going to be a roughly 37-minute drive. What do you think about that, Tom?
I'd turn back if I were you.
Fair point.
Yeah. Do we have Joel?
Yeah, good morning.
Joel, how are you, buddy? So your Michigan team ended the season with a serious whimper, eh?
Well... So the new guy, is he trying to get under my nerves or get on the permanent ban list?
I don't know if he knows that you're a Michigan fan to that extent.
Yeah, but he brings up a Michigan basketball game from Sunday.
Well, he wasn't here yesterday.
Oh, it's Tuesday.
I don't understand that. Yeah, manage. He does sometimes go back a day or two. We just let him roll.
And it's Ohio State. And I think he did it on purpose because it was Ohio State beating Michigan.
He's like Belushi. He's on a roll, you know.
All right. Well, I'll give him one more chance, and then if at any other
ask him if the
Germans
ask him if the
stuff, then we're gonna have to bring Matty Ice back. That's all there is to it.
What are we asking? He thinks the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor too.
Well, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
A couple things here that you mentioned in your little update. First of all, the China thing. Two things. They're gonna spend over 7% on defense funding.
Yep.
Which is not happy. And they took their wording from, I don't know what if a peaceful reunification, they changed their wording to unification. So they took the peaceful part out. Don't quote me on that, but it was something similar to that. And the other thing is, and this is related to China as well, the reason for the Apple decline yesterday was because of the EU fine.
Right.
And today, it's because of slowing sales in China. So either you guys are living in a time warp or I'm really up on information.
No, we talked about the EU thing yesterday. How is it all the antics of our big corporations here only seem to be antitrust in Europe and not here?
Well, that's what they're worried about. What they're worried about, that it's going to spill over here. That's not the only thing that plagues Apple. I mean, if you look at this, the way Apple trades, this is historic valuations. It's trading, it's getting a little bit of a haircut now.
Yeah.
But it was trading, well over 30% forward valuation. That's not normal for Apple. When you have 6 quarters of declining revenues, and you have a inflated or bloated PE, something has to come down. And until the E comes down, the P is going to come down. So that's what's going in Apple. Also, it lost a critical level at the 180. Any chartist, any junior chartist could see that was a major support level for a long time. And there just wasn't much below it. And then you combine losing a major support level on the dailies, weeklies, monthlies, whatever you call it, and you just fall into an area limited support. Now we're down another 389. It's hard. I mean, this thing doesn't go straight down. It has its little bumps. Apple's such a love stock. But the one thing, and we discussed this yesterday in our pre-market show, is Apple big enough to bring down this market? Or I won't say bring down this market, because there's such a rotation in this market that it seems, and don't quote me on this again, that will never get crushed. You know, okay, we'll buy the chips. No, we'll buy the small caps. No, we'll buy the leisure. No, we'll buy the retail. Target trading up 12.5 bucks today. So you get this rotation. It always seems to put like a bid beneath the market. But Apple has slipped from your top component in the S&P to number two. And boy, NVIDIA, I don't know how close that is. It's going to have to get a lot more market share, but definitely trouble at the top, Chief.
Do you, I don't follow these stocks. Maybe you guys do. I'm just kind of stunned that we're even chasing retailers now. I mean, Abercrombie and Fitch, the thing's up how much in the last year and a half? I mean, really?
It's just a story, Chief. You know, I mean, it's momentum. It's momentum traders. It's the bots. I don't know what started out as a short squeeze in this thing. But do you remember, I know you're up in my genre, do you remember the original Abercrombie and Fitch's way back when? I'm talking way back. How old are you, Chief, by the way?
I'm 70. Like?
Wow, okay. Well, you got me by a 10 lot. Remember the stores they used to sell, like, globes and antiques and unique games and stuff. Do you remember that or not?
I went to the first one I went to was I was my first trip to New York. It had to be somewhere in the 80s, and they had just redone that South Street Seaport area.
Uh-huh.
It was one of the first big urban renewals where the thing was all blight, and they said, no, we're going to return it back to where it was, the original Seaport before the Brooklyn Bridge was built. They did a beautiful job in New York, and one of the anchor tenants was Abercrombie and Fitch, and I never even heard of these people. So I walk in the store and I'm thinking, God, I bought a polo shirt there, the best shirt I think I've ever owned. I mean, I must have worn and washed that thing 150 times before it gave it up. I mean, the stuff you bought there was like a Banana Republic. The stuff was really good stuff. And then all of a sudden they got into the naked guys in the catalogs and all that stuff. They did that for like a decade. But I mean, originally it was really a high end, not all that expensive. I thought the stuff was better than Polo Ralph Lauren. I mean, or at least on a par. And then all of a sudden they just walked off, and I probably have not gone back to all those places in 30 years.
You know, I just I didn't know that. And boy, I was going to say, did you ditch your Ralph Lauren? Or what about Little Alligator? I could see you with
They were real big when I was.
Yeah.
It was the.
Lacoste.
Yeah, you know, every Jewish person in the world would get grief for wearing those back in the day. Robin, who has been on the show, obviously she was Jewish. She died in the car crash earlier this year, which I still can't come to grips with. Yeah, but. She used to say, yeah, he's got a little alligator in his shirt.
Never heard the Jewish association with that.
All her friends were Jewish, obviously, except for me, and was a great group. And she used to give the guys, he never shirt with an alligator. He had to go out and get one because he couldn't be seen without it or something. They were real hot for a while.
From when I was 5 to like, all the way through college, I used to wear the one. Used to flip up the short sleeve shirt. You would flip up the collar, and then wear a button down over it when it got a little bit cooler. But I got a hop here, Chief. I would just say with the market, you still gotta be bullish, right? I mean, made a new all time high yesterday, not a new all time closing high. This Apple thing has me a little bit concerned, right? If this is going to spill over into the other Mag 7, you've already lost Tesla. Tesla's just looking like I got over 200 and croaked. Google, man, they're running it. I mean, if you could do AI search, man, I don't know, Google. So I'm a little bit cautious here. I would still say you gotta be bullish, but I think for the remainder of the week right now, going into the quad, which we got the rollover next Wednesday, I'm going to go a little bit neutral here, and I would say I think today's a pretty big day for the market. Pressure late in the day yesterday with some hawkish talk, pressure overnight. So Bulls got some work to do, Chief.
I think so too, bud. Take care of yourself.
Go Blue.
You want to just go right to Kennedy, Ryan? Is he with us?
I think he is. Give me one second.
All right, if he is, we'll just go right to him.
I hope I wasn't too hard on your Michigan guy there.
No, he's fine. He deserves it.
Maybe get him a tissue or something, okay? All right, go look.
Right. Joel is a massive Michigan fan, and he's beside himself with their basketball team, how lousy it was this year.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, then you kind of rubbed it in. It's good for him.
Oh, dear.
So no Kenny?
No, I don't see him, but he shouldn't be much longer.
Well, why don't we go to a quick break, and then we'll bring him back.
Sure, let's do that.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call, 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call, 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here. Right now. Right here. Right now. Right now.
Stacks and Jacks. I guess we heard most of that song as Ryan was searching around for Kenny. S&P Futures down 17. NASDAQ Futures down 105. We'll have Hal Powell in a minute as soon as he gets on. To say I'm kind of stunned about the two sets of books. Stunned, A, that they do it, and B, that I didn't know about it. So the one thing about supposedly knowing some stuff is the more you know, the more you think you don't know, because it sure appears that then something has happened in the last few days here, and everybody knows I do not give investment advice surely on the air. I do for my clients, and I'm starting to get a lot of people calling lately wanting to become clients, and we're working our way through a lot of good people. We got room for a few more, but it's backing up a little bit. I've been kind of long seeing what's going on with the dollar and the stuff overseas. Even though gold has been up in the last few years, and some of those things, you know, some of the glimmer of gold, I think, has been taken by Bitcoin and other things that I don't quite fathom, but the fact is other people do, so I'm not going to go down that road. But you wonder, when you start seeing deficits and you start seeing problems, and you keep throwing money at the solution, and the right people get the money, so they constantly are in denial that there's a problem. Well, someday, somewhere, that comes to fruition. And obviously, a lot of the people on the show, and maybe me personally, have sort of seen the warning signs, but we're too into the subject. We've seen it happen before in the 70s and are more wary of it than people that have not really gone through it before. Probably our warnings are going to be, at the very least, early, and maybe really, really early. But now, the last week or two, anybody that doesn't notice, or maybe this last month or two, anybody that doesn't notice a tone change here, both in the direction of debt, both personal and government and virtually every other kind, auto debt. I mean, I didn't even look at that one. Audrey was telling me about that the other day. The spike in auto debt is people absolutely have to have a car and go out and get one at 70 grand and go, the spike in every conceivable kind of thing. Whatever I've been kind of warning about is seemingly starting to happen. Now, that doesn't mean, I sure hope there's a solution found. I sure hope that somebody smarter than me can come up with something and say, we're going to do this instead. But I don't even think that there's any recognition that there's a problem. I honestly don't. These states and these cities, I have privy to information here in Chicago. Hal's with us?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Tom.
What's up, man? Thanks for coming on a little bit early. I don't know if you were listening early, but I was somewhat stunned. Somebody's supposed to know this stuff, Hal. Anyway, I was ranting and raving that somehow or another, the last month or two, all the stuff that people like you and I and Carl and people that have been warning about now for years, and we're like a bunch of old farts crying in the wilderness. Anybody that doesn't realize in the last 2 months there's been a tone change is just not looking. I mean we're seeing stuff worldwide scooting up. We're seeing markets all over the place as China and Japan pour money into the system. We're seeing gold spike. We're seeing Bitcoin spike. We're seeing these markets spike. We're in my opinion, we could be looking, if nobody puts a fix on this, we could be looking at a 6, 8, 10, 12% 10-year rate real soon if this keeps going like this. But I did not realize.
I 100% agree.
Did you happen to listen earlier about the two sets of books, the Treasury? I sent you that.
I did not hear about that. What's going on?
I sent you the article about, I thought I did the other day. Maybe I didn't send it to your new email, but.
Well, yeah, you gotta send it to
I know, email. I got to get you. I didn't do that yet, but I will. Anyways, this lady, Michelle Fax, she writes for CNBC, and by the way, I think she does really good work, because we've probably quoted her several times on here, and that's rare. Ryan's going to try and get her on the show. I don't know if she does that or not, but we will ax. The U.S. national debt is rising by $1 trillion every 100 days. And I'm sitting looking at this going, I talked about it yesterday on the show, and I also talked about consumer debt. I don't know if you've seen that chart. It's vertical. It's absolutely vertical. Yeah. And then auto debt's the same way. I mean, it's unreal. But the I'm sitting there going, this number doesn't match. So I went to the monthly Treasury statements, and sure enough, she's 2.5 times faster than the monthly statements would lead you to believe. So then I'm thinking, she's no dummy. Why does she have this number out here, and I can't put it together? So of course what do I do when I have a problem? I go to you or Carl, and Carl says, "Oh no, there's another set of stuff. If you look at the Treasury, there's something called a budget to the penny or something, whatever the hell. What do you call it, Ryan? Was it debt to the penny? It's another whole calculation. We're not all of the money you would think. Yeah, I mean, I'm a simple accountant, cost accountant kind of guy. That you take in a certain amount." By the way, you spend a certain amount, and if you spend more than you took in, that should sort of equal the number that the Treasury went out and borrowed, right? I mean, duh.
Yeah.
Or if you pull it out of some kind of savings, which of course they don't have. So this shouldn't be that difficult. And Carl's like, oh no, they constantly borrow more than they say they spend, and then they spend it, and have been doing this for years and years and years. And that's why in the Clinton administration, Clinton swore he had a surplus, and Carl says he never had a surplus. If you looked at the Treasury, never stopped borrowing during the whole time. They never went negative and were starting to buy stuff back. They bought some 30 years back or something, but they never didn't borrow. So they were never. I'm sort of astounded here. I mean, I'm trying to figure out how they figure out which stuff goes on the outlays and which one doesn't. Is the CIA stuff off budget? Is the money you sent to Uganda off? I mean, I'm totally startled here. I don't know if you can educate me here, if you're as startled as I am.
Well, I did see that article from CNBC, and I tweeted it last week, and I didn't really think anything of it. I accepted it as gospel, because it doesn't surprise me at all, given that we have, you know, $1 trillion in interest payments a year now. We have, what, an approaching $2 trillion regular fiscal budget deficit. So
yeah,
those numbers didn't shock me, right? And I did read the article that you I did read the response Carl had to that question you made in that email, like late last night.
Yeah.
And I mean, what does it tell you? It tells you the government lies, right? We know that. The government lied us into World War One. The government lied us into World War II.
Did you ever think that they were borrowing roughly 2.5 times as much as they needed to cover the number they tell you is the deficit? I as much as I will accuse them of everything, I never dreamed that was going on here in hell.
Well, I think COVID and the war on terror really woke me up in terms of what government's capable of doing. Here's a great example. I read this article last night. It was in the Post, and it was about the rent control that's in New York City.
They still have it?
Yeah. And do you know that if you live in a rent control apartment, the only rent control rental rate that you can find out about is the one you're currently renting? You can't find out about any other rent control rate in the city except the one you live in. Now, let me ask you this question. Why would that information be hidden?
Well, first of all, what if you tell somebody that that's illegal?
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is the government won't release any information on this unless you rent the apartment, right? So they're hiding the information from the public. Now, why is that? Is it possible that members of the assembly who live in New York City don't want people to know, or did not want people to know in past tense, that what their rental rate was? I mean, they're making the law. They're the ones saying that landlords can't hike their rent, right?
Well, I'm not a New Yorker, but I thought the rent control stopped when you moved or croaked.
Well, it's pretty convoluted, and according to this article, in the same building, somebody renting the same apartment could be spending $1,000 a month, and another could be spending $2,000 a month in the same apartment building.
Well, but these people all got to be 150 years old, the original rent control people.
Yeah. maybe they're pulling the Monica Geller scam, right, where they're living on their grandmother's lease, right? I mean, there are people on the voter rolls who are 120 years old, right? They won't cleanse them.
Well, then you could be like Notre Dame. If they think you're too old, they think they're doing you a favor selling you football tickets, so they actually will pull them away from you if they think you're not there, even though you send the check every year.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think at Ohio State, if you get caught selling your tickets, your season tickets, if you get caught, I think they take you off the list. But it just goes to show you that government, man, COVID, the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, learning about history, really getting into history of the United States, especially war. I mean, they lied to us about the Spanish-American War. They lied to us about World War One. They lied to us to get us into World War II. They lied about the Soviet Union, right? The threat of the Soviet Union. For years, we heard from the economists that, you know, support the American Defense Department and the Fed, these national economists saying, oh, GDP of the Soviet Union is 50% of the U.S. Well, when the Soviet Union collapsed, we find out that it's 5%. So we know the government lies. The government lies about everything. Well, so when I saw those numbers,
we lied about the extent of the threat, in the sense that the military-industrial establishment, we didn't lie about the fact that the Russians were bad people, and if they could, they would have kept going, right?
Well, I think the Russians were they wanted a buffer around their nation for the most part, right? I mean, they might have wanted to do some incursions in our hemisphere, but that's probably only because.
Well, I guess we would be a bumper around Canada, but nobody'd like it if they took us over. Polish people don't want to be referred to as a bumper; they like their own country.
Well, all I know is that if the Soviets or the Chinese were encouraging Mexico to join them in an alliance against us, I don't think we'd be very happy about it, right?
Well, I don't think everybody constantly looks at the war in Europe. I don't, other than giving the Japanese everything west of Hawaii, I don't see how the hell, as brutal as those guys were to everybody, I don't see how somebody wouldn't have had to stop them at some point.
Well, but you got to remember, though, what led them to attack us? We were at war with them economically, right?
But for a good reason. They trashed the crap out of China and raped everybody they could. Yeah. I mean, they were not being nice people to anybody.
Well, I know they weren't being nice people, but they did it. I mean, it wasn't unexpected that they're going to attack us. Let's be real.
Well, right? I mean, it wasn't unexpected. Okay, but what I'm saying is, they weren't about to stop until they did. We were in their way, in their mind.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't
it? I don't think they would have attacked Pearl Harbor had we not imposed such a brutal trade war.
But they would have had, in my opinion, they would have consolidated the entire. They would have taken Singapore. They would have taken all those other places, and that weren't theirs. I mean, it's really this whole. I mean, I don't want to accuse you of this, although I'm going to. I think you're dropping into the same mentality I do. That's how I can recognize it. And Lou constantly beats me up about it. So you cannot put your own logic into these people's minds.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I agree.
You can't say that it makes no sense for Russia to invade Ukraine when all they have to do is trade with them and they get all the benefits. It's like it was theirs anyway. What's the difference? Yeah. And I would say, well, why do you have to expend this amount of people and money to tear a place down when you could be just buying grain from them? What's the difference? Yeah. He says, no, it's not. Well, you can't think like that. I mean,
to me, it's just about the lies that government tells us, and
well,
government tells us lies all the time, and the quicker we wake up to that, I mean, the idea that inflation is 3%, I don't buy it. I don't buy the inflation.
Well,
story
that, oh, I'm with you on that. I'm just saying, but
I don't buy the unemployment numbers.
I don't buy the. If you one of these days we should have half a show on it. The stuff that went on before World War II, the information that Roosevelt was getting that kind of nobody else was getting, and he was privy to stuff, and the public opinion was in one direction. They knew the world was moving in the other direction. I mean, there were people. But there were Nazi rallies in Madison Square Garden, for God's sake. I mean, right? I mean, there was stuff going on here that nobody kind of remembers. They somehow think that we made it all the way through the Depression with this every war in a MAGA hat and America first. No, they didn't. I mean, people were seriously questioning our mode of government because it wasn't looking so hot in 1929 to 1938, was it? It wasn't looking so hot at all.
Well, But the rise of Hitler was a result of what happened at Treaty of Versailles, right? Keynes, he wrote the war article, the war reparations article, right? Where discussing how Germany was going to pay back the Allies, right? And then he walks away from the talks, and then he predicts that war reparations clause is going to lead to a guy like Hitler. And then when that happened, people celebrate the guy as some genius, but he's the guy that wrote that war reparations clause, right?
Well, he was never
World
a genius in my mind. Well,
it's the reason why we had World War II. It's the reason why we had Hitler, right?
95% of the known oil in the world was on one side of the table when Versailles broke up.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. But you had a tremendous, but the weird part, Hal, is I've told people this before, one of my clients, got me intrigued with some of these bearer bonds. I don't know if Mexico had a lot of them. Germany had a boatload of them during the 20s that they were selling, and they were sold.
Nakatomi Tower had a bunch of them in this vault too, right?
Yeah, well, but they were sold in the U.S. the German ones.
Well, you don't remember Die Hard, right? They were after those bearer bonds, right?
Well, but the weird part is our Supreme Court says that they are not, that they're no good, even though they were sold in this country, and I think they had whatever the predecessor was of a CRD number. So the circle, whatever, the circle bleep was Germany was paying France and England these huge reparations. All right, we were demanding money from France and Germany as World War I debt that we loaned them. And yet we're letting the Germans sell bonds in this country that allegedly were gold-backed by companies that are still around and by banks that are still around, okay? They're gold-backed. The gold was supposed to be in these countries. And so our citizens are sending money to Germany vis-a-vis these bonds, and Germany is paying France and Britain, and France and Britain is paying Washington. Yet our people are floating some part of the bill. And then somewhere along the line, like 1951 or 2 or somewhere, the Supreme Court said, oh, no, you can't demand payment on those bonds. Because Hitler, first thing Hitler did was said, we're not paying those things. So same thing with these Mexican bonds. There's all kinds of Santa Ana, or who was the guy, the French guy, Max, was it Maximilian? They issued bonds in Mexico. They were bearer bonds. Well, oh, they're not paying them. They're not my government. it's like this guy, Biden, issuing bonds, and then if Trump or somebody else gets in saying, I didn't issue those, Biden did. I mean, it's the same thing. But, yeah. But I think if you were to take the, I don't know, you might know of a different one. I keep citing these inflationary areas. The Weimar Republic. I don't know if you know much about the history of the Weimar Republic, but it's fascinating. What they did is they owed, Weimar Republic was the old German Republic before Hitler and those guys came in. It was one of the, there was somebody after them, after Weimar, between them and Hitler. Who was that? It was whoever the emperor was. Anyway, so those guys, they owe this money to France and Britain. But I think that was denominated in whatever money they had, whatever the Weimar currency was. So they decide, guess what? We're going to inflate the currency. Does this sound familiar, Hal? We're going to inflate the currency, and we're going to pay these idiots back, meaning France and Germany, with money that's pretty much useless as a way to restart the negotiations. So they inflate the hell out of their place. They absolutely bury the German population because literally people were getting off at 10 o'clock to go buy bread because if they waited till lunchtime, it would be higher.
Prices were doubling every 30 hours, I believe.
Yeah, and yet the government, because France and Britain finally did come back to the table and renegotiate, the government called it a victory. They thought they did a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that? I'm sure if you ask Powell what he's doing, he'll say, what do you mean? I'm doing what I have to do. This is great.
Napoleon says it perfectly in Count of Monte Cristo, right?
Yeah.
And what does he say? Kings and pawns, emperors and fools. We're fools for following these guys.
Well, but the weird part is
we're the pawns and we're the fools.
But they seem to become that every once in a while. I mean, I honestly think, Hal, that most of the people that we elect, at least at the lower level, the representatives and the state level and so forth, our system works pretty good. If you get out of the Chicago mess and actually talk to a state representative from Indiana or Iowa or something, they're just a regular person sitting next to you in a bar at a cookout talking to you. They don't have a security team. They are going down to the state house to try and do a good job. I think most people are like that. Then you get into these huge where there's big money involved and the guy's getting money from Pfizer already, even though he's a state rep or something like that. Somehow or another, when you get into the cesspool, you either get corrupted or you get out, one or the other. I mean, I don't know how that. We've talked on the show a lot. I wish somebody we could get somebody on here who could explain it to me. Carl knows probably better because he had backed a buddy of his that became a representative from Florida, and after a term or two, the guy couldn't wait to get out. He said it was just. But it seems like if you're there for a certain period of time, and I'm not doing term limits discussion because all they're going to do is start giving more money to people further down the chain. I mean, if I'm one of those guys, okay, there's no term limits, now I'll start buying a guy the first time he gets in here instead of waiting until he's here. You just move it down. I used to call it a trading floor. It's a workaround, right? So somewhere these guys seem like they don't represent us anymore. They represent big pharma. They represent big industry. They represent something. And it's almost, once you get so much money on their tail, it's like the guys in Congress, supposedly quizzing the tobacco companies. Well, how many checks did they get from them? How do you even have that conversation? And how do we as...
Well, I have a model in my microeconomic class that talks about taxing cigarettes. And when you tax cigarettes, you get less quantity, right?
Yeah.
And most textbooks don't talk about this, but I always try to identify the marginal firm, the high cost, like late in the game kind of firm versus the low cost incumbent firm, right? So in the model, we show the quantity of cigarettes being sold falls because you're taxing it. It doesn't matter if you tax the corporation or the consumer, you get the same effect. You get the same reduction, right? And that eliminates the marginal firms, leaving one big low-cost producer in the market, and that one low-cost producer probably likes the tax on that commodity because it eliminates the competitors, right? So everything government does, it raises the cost of entry or encourages people to just leave markets, right? You have businesses that exit markets. You have, and we call that deadweight loss. Or you create barriers to entry. And what ends up happening is you have these really big, powerful, low-cost
incumbents. Well, that's what's happened in...
That'll probably run the show.
That's what happened in my industry. I mean, it was low-cost to go on the trading floor, just getting a crowd that doesn't trade very much. And now you can't get in the industry without, like, millions of dollars. And even when PTI started, we didn't... Normally, people will go to other firms and will take their series tests and work there for a while and decide, hey, I don't like Bear Stearns, I don't like Merrill Lynch. So five or six of those guys or ladies will be out having a beer one night and say, why don't we form our own firm? They already had their tests, they already had their stuff. It was easy for people to do that.
Yeah.
The only reason why we were able to start is the CBOE sponsored members for tests if they want them. So we actually took my 7, my 63, my 24, and even my 4, I think, sponsored by the CBOE because I was a member. Same thing my brother did and everybody else because we were all members. If they didn't do that, by the way, they don't do that anymore. They stopped doing that. If they didn't do that,
yeah, we don't like the competition.
Yeah, they just...
The people that run it,
no, they actually, you know what happened, Hal? Talk about crazy stuff. The guy who did it, shall we say, misbehaved at a Christmas party. They fired him, and nobody else wanted to do it. That's why they stopped. had nothing to do with policy. But okay. So anyway,
well, most incumbents, you know, they get successful, and they kind of want to sit on their laurels, and it's just human nature. They want something to prevent competition, so they don't have to work as hard.
Without a doubt. I will say one thing about. I'm going to ask you. Since you are a guy who really believes in the mathematical nature of economics and how it works. I'm more of a behavioral side. Hal's more of the supply and more of the formula side. When you have something like cigarettes, now what you said is absolutely true. If you raise the taxes, in theory, it should stop. Won't stop the demand. The demand curve won't change, but you'll be further down the curve, and it should stop the quantity demanded. Correct. However, But my question is, when you have something that is physically addictive, where the reason why I guess my dad died when I was 4, so I didn't really know him that well, but my guess is he was a smoker. I know my mother was. She kept trying to quit. Finally, did. It still kind of caught her. 12 years after she quit, she ended up with lung problems because of it. But anyway, I don't know that once you gave free cigarettes out to everybody in the war, and once you did all that stuff, when something is actually physically addictive, I don't know that the economic models, I won't say they don't work, but they need to shift a little. There's a difference between, you know, a bottle of Coke going from $2 to $8. And I just sit there and go, I don't really like Coke anyway. I'll have iced tea. It's different than if it's a cigarette and I'm addicted to it. I think I pay the $8 more than I would normally.
Well, an addictive product is just one where it's more vertical, right?
Yeah, I guess what I'm asking you is how would you adjust your formulas for something that's maybe not 100% addictive? It's not like it's crack cocaine, but it's fairly addictive. I'll use that term.
Well, if you're addicted to it, your demand for it is perfectly inelastic. Your demand is a vertical line. You need it. You need your.
Well, if it was 500 a pack, it was 500 a pack, and you made 200 a week. I guess maybe you'd steal some, but you couldn't buy it.
Yeah, so you'd probably resort to crime because you're physically addicted to it. So your demand curve would be perfectly inelastic, straight up and down, right?
Yeah.
You need those 10 packs a day, right? And you're going to do whatever you got to do to get those 10 packs a day. So in that regard, demand is vertical, right? If there are substitutes, right? And those substitutes are a lot cheaper, but maybe they're not perfect. You know, they're not perfect. Then maybe you switch, right? So if there are substitutes, that tends to flatten demand, right? The more substitutes there are for a product you're addicted to, that tends to flatten the demand curve, right? But if all there is cigarettes and you're addicted to them, your demand is going to be perfectly vertical, right?
It's
going
to
be
if it's there's degrees of addiction. I mean, there's been. I don't think cigarettes were ever that addictive, but they were pretty addictive.
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty steep, right? As opposed to, you know, some young person who is trying to be cool by smoking cigarettes. Their demand curve is going to be pretty flat. It's going to be pretty elastic, right? So the degree to which you're addicted to a product and the available substitutes that are out there determines how steep that curve is, right?
Yeah, well,
the interesting thing about cigarettes, doing this model year after year after year, is that the marginal smoker that is eliminated by either taxing the corporation or taxing the consumer, the marginal consumers are probably 18-year-old kids who can't afford the cigarettes after the tax is imposed, right?
Right.
So, but for the people who are addicted to cigarettes, they probably don't change their consumption very much, right? The tax takes away some of their consumer surplus.
Well, there's some people who absolutely are going to quit, keep trying, and as soon as the tax went up, they'll say, that's it, I'm not paying anymore, and actually do quit. I mean,
who are going to continue to smoke the same number of cigarettes. What happens is now their income is being diverted to higher cost cigarettes, and they probably have less money available to buy fresh fruits, vegetables.
Well, every time you spend a dollar more for cigarettes, even if you're rich, it's one less going in the savings account, right? It's got to come from somewhere.
Yeah, one less dollar going in the savings account. It's also one less dollar going into healthier food options, right? So this tax actually probably makes the heavily addicted cigarette smoker less healthy by changes in diet, right? Because they're still going to smoke their cigarettes, right? Yep. It does have a health effect on encouraging marginally addicted smokers from maybe just giving it up, right? Maybe they never become heavily addicted, but for the heavily addicted smoker, the tax probably makes them less healthy because they're still smoking, but they're not eating right? They're eating more processed foods.
Hell, there was a guy at one of the schools that I worked at in the summers, Chicago Public Schools, when I was in college, and I got to the point where I was a big guy and didn't mind working. Plus, it was kind of boring. We weren't doing anything. I was really good at, you had to clean the whole school from top to bottom, right? And you had to, you know, really scrub all the floors with the big, you know, the big stainless steel, machine.
Oh, the stripper?
Well, if you didn't do it right, if you didn't get it wet, it would, like, flip you across the room, those big machines.
Yeah, it was a stripper.
Yeah, and I was really good at varnishing the floors, the gym floors and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, that was my job, you know, because I was the summer replacement. Some of the old guys didn't want to do that. So one school had a guy, and I was there at least once, or maybe two, but I never saw the guy, Hal. He was employed. The only thing he did was he put the flag out and took the flag in. And he was evidently an alderman or somebody. He must have been like his nephew, but the guy was a total mess. I said, just keep him away from me, which was more. So I ended up doing the entire school, however many classrooms there were. I was good for a classroom a day, so I was there for, you know, 25 days. I did 25 classrooms and still had time to shoot the ball, basketball in the afternoon. But the guy, he smoked cigarettes all day long, and he smoked them all the way down to the filter, the brown filter, and I'd be sweeping up the filters. He'd just drop them on the ground. The guy literally needed one match in the morning because he would light the next cigarette with the one he just had. I don't know how long that guy lasted. He couldn't have lasted too long, but I could tell where he was by the trail he left. I never saw the guy.
Yeah.
Ever.
In the Navy, I remember the guys that smoked every hour they got their 10-minute smoke break. And the guys that didn't smoke, we didn't get our smoke break, right? So what I'd do is I'm going to go have a smoke, and I'd go sit on the smoke deck and watch all these guys smoke because I was going to get my 10-minute break.
God. Well, it becomes, you see, when the buildings wouldn't allow people smoking anymore, you see them over here like at 440 where the people were in the financial industry. That was the way to meet all their pals for, like you say, 15 minutes every couple hours. So it was the way to, everybody there seemed to smoke, but you're right. Why not just go on out there and make like you were and you weren't just so you could get your break? But anyway.
Well, there was an episode of Friends about that where Rachel tries to smoke because all the important decisions were being made during the smoke break, and she wasn't a part of it.
She's probably right about that. It's like, you know, like if you don't have coffee in the morning with everybody, that's where everybody talks about what's going on that day.
Yep.
You know,
it's where you get put on the junket, right?
Yeah. After the second half hour here, Hal, let's zero in more on what, you know, Carl and I were talking about, and all of a sudden we're getting this rally in Bitcoin and gold and all this other stuff. And I went through the turkey numbers the other day. The reason why not Thanksgiving turkey, it's so straight out there. Last year the inflation was 67%. They admit money supply is up by almost the same amount, and oh, by the market's up almost the same amount. And yet here we refuse to believe there's a connection. When I say we, most people think their stock is up 40%. They don't realize the value of their dollar is down 40%.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
Not, some companies obviously have grown and actually are worth more.
You know, talking about the average, right?
Yeah, we still don't. And yet, I've never seen this coordinated worldwide. I mean, I don't think our Fed is pouring money into the system right now, but Japan, China, and other people are, and it almost seems like it doesn't matter where it comes in from. It just spreads around.
What our Fed is trying to do is trying to prevent the money from spilling out in and causing even worse inflation.
We'll talk about that after the break. How do you do that? How do you stop it from, I mean, the idea that the Japanese stock market is up, you know, like 25% in the last 4 weeks. There's people now who have owned stocks there that now have more wealth. If they sell, it affects the wealth everywhere because people are invested everywhere. I mean,
the Japanese never stopped inflating, right?
Well, they've started putting more money into the system even recently.
Yeah.
I mean, China has decided to push their markets up.
Yeah.
And they call themselves, they say their stuff is like Joel was saying, their defense spending is going to be 7%. Why don't they just call it offense spending? They don't have any intention of defending themselves, anybody. They intend on attacking somebody. So how's that defense?
You can't attack China because you don't want to lose that 1.4 billion person market, right? See, there's no point in attacking China.
Well, that's what we have to make a huge decision if they go after Taiwan. SP futures down 19. NASDAQ futures down one thing. Doesn't look too good this morning, at least so far. Be right back, Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you! Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck, get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jock.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ryan on the board. S&P futures down 19 now, NASDAQ futures down 113. We've been slipping really since about 1:32 o'clock yesterday. Individual stocks in the Dow. Let me see. I've got Apple down again today, 398. Yesterday they had problems with the EU. Today, like Joel was saying, they're they seem to be having some China issues. We got Salesforce down 262. Apple's now down 401, so it's continuing to creep down. We've got American Express down 97 cents, Amazon down a buck, so not massive. Dow futures down 102. Over Europe was like totally flat last time we looked. Let's see what they're doing now. As soon as my machine speeds up, DAX down 295, call that flat. FTSE up 185, call that flat. CAC around down 450, let's call that flat. So it says here European markets lower. I don't know what they're seeing because they don't look like they're lower to me. It looks like they're flat. In Asia, Nikkei down 11, call that flat. Hang Seng down 433, that's 2.6%. Shanghai up 8, call that flat. This is after Beijing targets a 5% GDP growth and 7%. Defense spending growth, which, I don't know about that. Doesn't sound great. Yesterday, Dow was down 97, S&P down 6, NASDAQ down 67, turned like in the afternoon. Bonds down 7 basis points now, 415. That's a big move since a little bit ago. The Bund down 7 basis points, 232. Japan down 1 at 0.70. Oil down a buck 08 now. That's down further than it was before. That's almost a percent and a half. 77.66, Brent down 91 cents, 81.89. Natural gas down a penny, a buck 90, but still quite a bit above that $1.68 low the other day. That might be a buy for a long time at $1.68 under 170. I don't know if we'll see that again. RBOB down 3 cents, 254. Foreign exchange, we've got the euro again, 108.5. It's been steady right there. Japan or British pound, same thing, 126.8. We've got gold, which has been running up still, up another 11.80. 21.38, silver up 32 cents, 24.31. I think that might be a minor breakout, at least at the very top end of the range. Copper down a penny, 384. We've got Bitcoin up 106, 67,719. Kind of want to lead in the charge here. Ryan, what do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
Hello again, everybody. In case you forgot the upset, the Avalanche beat the Blackhawks 5-0 the other day. Big ol' ouch there. And in other news, the Cubs lost 2-1, or excuse me, 1-2 to the Padres only in the preseason. We got a little time to pick that up, but nonetheless, that is important.
Yep.
In regards to the NBA, the Bulls beat the Kings 113-109, which is nice because the Kings are a fairly decent team, isn't that right?
Yeah, they're on the road. On the road again.
Yeah.
Yep.
In college basketball news, Indiana beat Maryland 83-78.
These were on Sunday.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. My apologies.
Yeah, the tournament starts this week.
Ah, yes.
So we'll be talking tournaments by tomorrow they start. I think we'll be talking about it with Kevin a little bit.
You know what? That is correct.
I think there might be a couple of playing games tonight in some of the tournaments.
You know what? It's very possible. I'll have to double check that. But the good news is more scores to come in that regard.
Actually, you know what? Maybe the men are. You know, the women stopped on Sunday. I thought the men did too. But the women start playing their tournament like maybe tonight.
Hmm.
Or at least the conference tournaments.
Oh.
Anyway, there you go.
Yeah,
keep going.
You got it. On that note, we'll have more to report in on as the week goes in. Looking at traffic right now, speaking of going in, the inbound Kennedy from O'Hare to the Eisenhower is about 52 minutes drive time. Inbound Edens, looking at around 53 minutes. Inbound Eisenhower is almost exactly 60 minutes. I mean, 59, 60 minutes. It's still roughly an hour. That's kind of rough. Turn back if you can now. And the inbound Stevenson from the I-355 to Dan Ryan is 46 minutes. So,
Not good.
No, I don't know what else to say about that, Tom.
They had huge standing water in the Eisenhower earlier. That's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember kind of running into that on my way here this morning. Wasn't terrible at the time, however.
It must got worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the rain hasn't stopped until quite recently. Yep. So that'll do it. That'll do it. Back to you, Chief.
Hal, I don't know if you spotted this one. Let me, before we get to the worldwide kind of mess, I'm starting to sense that some stuff is starting to percolate here that we've been warning about for a while, but then again, I've been wrong before. But did you happen to see this article? This is talk about what maybe is, I don't know, not what's wrong with the world, but the for those that maybe don't know the theory of what a corporate board does, is a corporate board is supposed to essentially rein herd on the CEO, and their job is to like monitor, you know, stuff. But certainly, the really is the job to hire and fire the CEO when necessary. But that's sort of a problem when the people, the CEO is the one who picks the people on the board. So you essentially can run the board if you're. Well, Elon Musk, at one point, his pay package got so egregious. As a matter of fact, when he I think, Hal, when he bought, he paid all that money for Twitter, that he had to cash all these the stock in. Didn't they give him enough stock options, like, the next week, where he was flat? They didn't. It didn't even cost him some bizarre number. Anyway, he had a pay package from 2018. Is it 2018? Where shareholders essentially sued to revoke his $56 billion pay package. Yeah, you remember this. Well, so the judge ruled that the Tesla's board of directors failed to prove it was fair to shareholders, so they, I don't know if they cut it back or what they did. I don't know. There's not all those numbers in here. Well, now instead of firing the board of directors and putting somebody in there that actually maybe could control this guy, who was uncontrollable, it appears, the lawyers that fought this thing, guess how much they want, you know, for rolling
six,
back.
$8 billion?
$6 billion in Tesla stock they want. So instead of paying Musk, you're going to pay $6 billion to the attorneys in Tesla stock. I mean,
well, I read about that article, and that lawsuit comes from a single dude, a single shareholder, one shareholder, right? He sues Tesla in Delaware.
Where they're probably incorporated, right?
Yeah. And he has only 9 shares of stock. That's 0.00027% of all the stock. He only owns 9 shares. And
okay.
It's like, I don't know, 300 million shares or something like that. It's crazy. And 73% of the shareholders voted for Elon Musk's compensation package.
What do you mean the share of the Okay, but when you say that, how much of the stock is owned by institutions? And do they have a clause in there like they used to have? I don't know if they have this anymore. If you didn't send your proxy back, it was considered a yes vote, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think 73% of the people, first of all, how much of it is owned by State Street Bank for the Spiders? How much is owned by in the Qs? How much is owned by mutual funds? I'm gonna make a bet that they're at most 30% owned by individuals.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be high with that.
Yeah.
So those.
Well, my point isn't about how much his compensation is. My point was the lawsuit was brought by a guy that owns 9 shares. Now, since 2018. Tesla stock was up 813%, right? And, you know, whether you like it or not, or, you know, 73% of shareholders, whoever they happen to be, they supported the compensation package.
They didn't,
right?
They didn't necessarily support, they did not support. There's a difference.
Yeah. But still, you got one guy with 9 shares. By the way, he was in a thrash metal band in Philadelphia called Dawn of Correction.
Good for him.
Hey, I love thrash metal. My favorite band right now is Sabaton, right? They're a historical thrash metal band that sings songs about feudal wars and stuff. They're really kind of cool.
Well, why would it be fair to shareholders? They wouldn't want me on this board. If the guy pisses away $90 bazillion on Twitter, but the next day or the next week you give him and he has to sell his stock to pay for the thing. The next day you just give him more stock. I mean,
but in 2018 he wasn't buying Twitter yet, right? He didn't buy Twitter until after COVID, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what's the formula? Just whatever he wants?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the Tesla's stock price is up 813%.
Okay, well, but you can make the argument, you for sure, because you're Mr. Numbers, that if you paid the guy less, it'd be up 900%.
Maybe, yeah. But I just don't see how a judge and a guy owning 9 shares, when that share price has gone up 813% since 2018, I don't see how those two people can void this compensation package illegally. I don't see it getting past appeal.
Well, I'm not
saying whether that compensation package is fair or not. I just don't see how if
the shareholders, all right, let's work this through. Let's pick another company. Okay, let's say Commonwealth Edison, one I like to beat on whenever I can. Commonwealth Edison, it has. The reason why I say is we got to get him back on. You remember when Eric May used to come in when he lived in my hood before he moved out to another place? Eric is a teacher at Columbia, and he was talking about how one of the issues we have now, and I haven't heard really anybody else mention it, is this management class that thinks they deserve all this money, and they're not owners, they're not the people who started the place, they're not inventors, yeah. They're not anything. They're just this... I'm not saying Elon Musk is one of those. He clearly is one of the inventor sides, and if ever there's been a guy running a place where a lot of the ideas were his, he's probably one of the ones that's left, okay? So that's why... Let's pick on Commonwealth Edison. I'm going to say that if you went through the salaries of the top 200 people, or maybe certainly the top 50 people, you would find them wildly in excess of somebody at another company, you know, that size.
Yeah.
And now, and then there's the shareholders. Now, does the board, is what I find out in a lot of these boards, and even on the simple board of the SIBO, and those people were really good people, so it was, but you could sense that the board love, on one hand, they wanted to minimize what you paid for virtually 90% of the people, but maximize what you paid for the other 10% of the people.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, if the decision came down to an extra 3 cents on the dividend or a bigger bonus for the CEO, it always fell in favor of a bigger bonus to the CEO. So if they're not really working for shareholders and they're being picked by the chairman, what exactly are they doing now? I mean, the idea is that they represent the shareholders. And the judge basically said, sure looks to me like in this one you didn't. Yeah. I mean, somebody gets to say that. And some shareholder gets to say, are they representing me? And I guess that's why you have a legal system. I'm not saying the guy's right or wrong or whether this guy should still be in a metal band, but somewhere, someplace, there needs to be a court of something, isn't there? Or no?
Yeah. Well, we can talk about compensation of CEOs. We can talk about compensations of politicians. We can talk about the compensation of college athletes in the NIL.
Well, but try and get your biggest enemy, if you were to run four people from the outside against the board at Tesla, the biggest fight you have there is at the SEC.
Yeah.
They favor the current. Now, do you think the board of Tesla actually gives a rat's ass about this shareholder? Or is it Elon Musk and themselves? And maybe stock price, because they have...
Well, I think all they care about is what happened with the stock price.
Well, if you didn't have a board, I don't know what these guys' compensation is, but if you didn't have a board, and if you didn't have executives that have stock option plans, okay, you would probably never see a firm buy back stock that would always give out a dividend if they actually cared about shareholders. Now we can get into the double taxation and all that stuff, but if you are a Tesla board member and you have options to buy the stock at $900, and now it's creeping that way, it's at $859.77 this morning, and I walk in and said, wow, we got awful lot of cash, we should send out a $20 dividend, I'm going to say that's a combination of a fart and a stink bomb in the room. You're going to say, wait a minute, how am I going to get to $900 if we're sending out checks and now it's only worth $839? I wanted $1,000, not $839, you idiot. So you think the board works for the shareholders in that regard? No, they don't. So
yeah.
So I think one of the problems, Hal, and please disagree, one of the issues we have in this country is these big companies are not the idea of the outside board member controlling these places is about, it's like me being a jockey in the fifth race today. It's totally against that, and I think it's a big problem. And now, I don't know if this court's right, I don't know if this guy's right, But I'm saying someplace, somewhere, the shareholders are not controlling Tesla. Is that a fair statement?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I think that's true for probably every corporation.
Yeah.
Or most corporations, right?
Now, if we want them to, you know.
If you look at the board, if you look at the composition of these boards, I'm sure there are people on these boards that are probably on multiple boards, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, so in that sense, I mean, if you really think about it, wouldn't that violate antitrust law where you have all these
if they're competing. Clayton Ack says if they're competing.
If you have all these different corporations with all these different boards, and there's a lot of, you know, people being on multiple boards, right? And those boards are making decisions on behalf of the corporation, and they're directing policy. You could make an argument of collusion, couldn't you?
Well, I think, but the collusion is not the Clayton Act. I just went through this because I was on one of Kevin's classes the other night. The Clayton Act prohibits board members from sitting on competitive companies' boards. So you can't be on Ford and GM, according to the Clayton Act.
Yeah.
But as a college professor, you could be on 15 different boards, and the only thing you have to make sure of, you never vote against the pay raise, right? Or else you get canned from every board. So people will get your history, and the history is you always say yes. And maybe you never prepare, you never do anything. There was a guy here in I could torpedo you from any board by saying nice things about you. How can I do that, you think? Somebody called up and said, this guy Hale Snar, you're a friend of his, and by the way, you've been on the air with him for a long time and had drinks with him and you like the guy, which I do. And if I didn't want you to be on a board and all of a sudden I hated you, which I don't, I would say, oh man, you want Hale on your board. He never forgets that he works for the shareholders and he's not afraid to ask the tough question. I just torpedoed the hell out of you.
Oh yeah, I guarantee. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
No, that shouldn't be the way. I mean, it seems like it's a joke, but it's not, is it? Yeah. All right.
I don't know what the answer is here.
I don't either.
I know. I just don't think one judge, in a legal sense, one judge and a guy own. I mean, when I read the article, I thought there's going to be like 10,000 people in the lawsuit, right? But there's just one dude with 9 shares and a judge. In a Delaware court that said the package was not fair. Right?
Well, it probably, I'm gonna guess, Hal, but I'm going to defend the judge. Why, I don't know, just maybe good radio. I'm going to say that the deliberation took 2 minutes in the board with some outside firm came up with it, and nobody, you know, and it was like nobody even said, well, wait a minute, Isn't $45 billion enough? did it have to be? I mean, you would think that if you or I were on the board, say 56 is a little up there. Do you think we could?
Well,
we can.
45. How about not 45 billion? How about 45.932 billion?
Yeah, I mean,
I'll go with that.
No. What if you'd have said it's 56? How about 54? And somebody got, nah, that's not enough. Who's this Trump Hale? You realize he's come from Brooklyn. He's trying to shave a couple of bill off this. And you're sitting there going, God, if I got a couple of bill, I can support my whole neighborhood for the rest of everybody's life. I mean, these numbers get so confusing.
They're monstrous. Right?
Yeah.
Monstrous.
Let's get back to what's going on here with all these. I'm going to say that in my historical reference, I've never seen central banks coordinated so much to do the same thing. You know, the worldwide inflation, the worldwide...
Well, there was a lot of coordination in 2008.
I'm talking about like in a... It always blew up on somebody, like the Weimar, because they were the only ones doing it.
I don't think it's necessarily them talking with each other. I just think they're thinking, well, if all these countries are going to inflate their currency by 10%, I'll inflate my currency by 10% kind of thing, right?
Well, they're all
because
broke.
You don't want to be the currency that is, you know, increase. You don't want to be the country where your currency is going up by 50%, right? You want to be the country that's kind of like hanging out in the middle or the lower end, right?
Well, even at 10%, if somebody's, I won't say dumb enough, but if somebody decides they want to buy a 10-year U.S. bond or bill or whatever a 10-year is, no, 10 years a note, right? And the inflation is going to be 10% a year, and the the rate on the note is 10 years, 4.15. Guess what? I'm paying this schmuck, what's 6% times 10? I'm giving him 45 cents back 10 years from now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, governments want to do that. Government's the biggest beneficiary of inflation worldwide.
Yeah, they can. It's basically a tax that they don't have to get the approval of voters for, right?
Well, and you go up a level on your income tax. Yeah. And when you go by the Ford pickup, who was it that was telling us yesterday that some city got the last of their COVID and they spent $85,000 on a Ford 350? Okay, well, now the tax on that is now, what's 11% of 85 is, you know, almost 10G. Now, 2 years ago, that would have been 5G, or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're making out like a bandit on this. You're not.
You know, think about the property taxes in New York City. New York City loves inflation, right?
Well, here some people are up 40. Some people here are up 25 to 40% in the last year. Where are you going?
Yeah, the taxes out in Long Island. I don't know how people do it, because you pay off your house in Long Island. You got a second mortgage. You got to pay. You got to pay that property tax bill of $2,000 a month.
Right? Yeah, I don't know how.
You get your mortgage loan. You get your mortgage paid off, and you get rewarded with having to pay $2,000 a month in property taxes.
Well, the people that are in government, somehow they have, I won't say all of them, but seeming like the people they are convinced the rest of society, maybe because the only people they run into, you know, are people that do have a lot of money. Maybe they just don't run into other people. But, I mean, somebody who sees their tax bill in Chicago up $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000, and then you must know the statistics that how many people don't have $2,500 in the bank to buy a new transmission if they need it. I mean, where do they think the dough comes from? There seems to be a major split between one group of people thinks all the other people, no matter how much you dump on them, somehow they'll make do and get you your cash. So they must have it because you always get it. And by the way, they haven't revolted lately and shot you or even voted against you, for that matter. They you know, it's basically comes down to, you know, Animal House. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Until people bitch. Maybe people think that it's okay or something. I don't know.
If you really think about this from a young person's perspective, right, who just moves to New York, that real estate price to them, it's always been that way, right? But for somebody that's 50 years old who just paid off their mortgage and now is facing down paying a $2,000 a month property tax bill, maybe that person decides, I'm going to sell my house. I'm going to take the cash and buy a home in North Carolina, and then have a bunch of leftover cash.
Yeah, yeah.
That young person, thinking that this is how it's always been, probably thinks, well, I can afford it. So they go ahead and buy that house, right? And then what happens, you know, 30 years later is they realize, well, I got the house paid off. Now my property tax bill is $3,000 a month. So I think what happens is young people, you know, I think young people in their 20s, probably always thought that interest rates were always 0%.
Well, without a
but
doubt.
But you and I
without
know that they weren't always 0%, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
And so they see these rents in New York City, that's just the norm, right? They don't remember, they don't have the memory of when real estate was $200,000 in 1997 for a house today that is $2 million, right? They don't have that memory. Well, and I kind of think that's how this perpetuates itself.
Well, I think you can get from there's levels to this. I mean, I honestly believe that there are. And by the way, you as an economist, you realize more than me that the level is every single person. I mean, if you don't like the subject of, you know, economics, it's hard for you. You look at the economics. The beauty of it is there's 330 people in this country making an economic decision. I'm going to say every hour, you know, or every half hour
making,
or something.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're shopping, you're making one every 30 seconds. There's just multitudes of these decisions being made. And I think where the people in the government and how they get there and how they grow to the fact where they're not normal people anymore, I don't know. But there's a point where if I'm making $500,000 a year and my taxes are $1,000 a month and I've got this huge shack somewhere and you raise them to $1,200, like most people, I'm going to say, hey, What are you doing grabbing another 200 hours out of me? But the fact is, I can pay it, right? I mean, it's going to come out of savings, or it might come out of the tip to the pool boy. Who the hell knows? But it'll come out of something. But the problem, where you can't get to is, though, it now goes to $10,000 a month to $15,000 a month, and oh, by the way, I'm making $16,000. Now, as the Irish say, you can't get blood out of a turnip. I mean, there comes a point where the person, it's not just a little bit of funny money and just a little bitching. It's like, I'm moving, I'm selling, I'm getting the hell out of here. Or maybe I'll even sell at a loss because I can't pay it, or I don't pay it. And 2 years, 3 years from now, you're foreclosing on me or something. I mean, you got to be careful you don't get down to the point where...
Then you become the renter, right? Then you become the renter.
Or maybe you declare... Who knows what you do? Declare bankruptcy, whatever. But you can't get to the point where the guy in Social Security is paying a $2,800 a month tax on his house, and oh, by the way, the Social Security check is $2,200. That dog doesn't hunt. You know, the guy's got to eat. He's got to pay. I mean, you reach a point where people can't pay it. And I think we're there. We're an awful lot of our... I'll tell you what, we're there certainly in healthcare. We're at the point where a lot of people will try and set their own leg instead of going to emergency room for $10,000.
They will, yeah.
I mean, it's a...
Mountain doctors. We're all mountain doctors now.
Yeah, we're all mountain doctors. One of these days, I still got to get my butt out to New York. We still have interest in doing that, hell. We'll have to do that one of these days. S&P futures down 22, NASDAQ futures down 134. By the way, you still have the motorhome?
Yeah, we have it parked in Virginia. We bought a piece of land for it. We go down there during the summer two or three times. Swimming pools, hiking, golf range.
Does the thing ever move?
I just got it parked right now. Yeah. It's just too expensive to be driving it around.
Well, that's the truth. Take care of yourself, bud. Talk at you next week. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. Dax Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
That's all, folks.